about something equally as powerful, and that is our communication to God. So I invite you to just kneel with me as we ask the Lord's blessing on this last meeting together. Heavenly Father, thank you that you care about us. Thank you that you want to hear us. And although you are very willing to instruct and tutor each one of us individually by your Holy Spirit and through your word and through providence, and just bless us with your words, you're very, very open to everything that we have to say and everything that we feel. And so we would like to just put our hearts on the altars tonight, or on the altar tonight, Lord, and just ask you to please search us and see if there be any wicked way in us. Lead us in the way everlasting. You know our concerns, our cares, our struggles, our hopes, our temptations, our victories. You know everything about us. And we just ask for your blessing as we study your word one last time this Sabbath evening. In Jesus' name, amen. If ministry to others is the food that we eat, you know, meat, I have meat that you don't know of, Jesus said, then prayer is the air that we breathe. This is a function that we cannot live very long without. We must continually do this. It must be an automatic function for us to pray. And as you can see, one of the biggest things that firefighters have to make sure is that they have proper air quality when they go in to rescue people from buildings and to put out fires. Prayer is something that we theoretically know that we should do much of, but sometimes we neglect to do the kind of prayer that we need to do. And we should be praying always. We should be praying always. The Bible says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. So there's this continual, just like we breathe systematically, our heart should be lifted up to God in prayer. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings. Prayer connects us with God in a way that will give us great joy and great power in our work here on earth. It is the link through Christ and His mediation with heaven. And so we should learn to pray. But what is this thing, this invisible? How can God hear me? For many years, they didn't know how elephants could communicate with each other. They were puzzled because they would see herds of elephants separated, many of them separated from each other by land masses or by foliage, by trees, all these obstacles in the way. And they would notice how they would all be traveling and they'd all decide to go the same direction suddenly. And all of them would go like that way. And they didn't understand how this could happen. There was a lady who was visiting. She was a soundologist, and she was visiting the Portland Zoo. Her name was Katie Payne, and I think this was in the early 80s. And she's there just observing these elephants doing nothing except maybe chewing. And suddenly she has this deja vu feeling where she remembers something, but she doesn't know what it reminds her of, but something just reminds her of something. So she's just thinking about this. What is it? I had this feeling, this like a distant thunder type, but there was total silence. I don't know what happened. And then she remembered that as a child, she had sung in a choir next to the biggest bass pipe organ in this church in New York. And this deep throbbing vibration going through her body was what she remembered when she was standing in front of these silent elephants doing nothing but chewing or whatever. So she had a hypothesis. And she guessed that these elephants were speaking to each other in sound waves that were below the threshold of human hearing. So she took recording equipment and she went and she audio recorded elephants doing nothing. And then she took it back to her lab and she ran it through the computer. And she found that elephants communicate in the wavelength of 17 hertz, which is 3 hertz lower than human hearing can hear. So their predators cannot hear them. They can be like, trouble, trouble, and then the lions are like, we got him, we got him. And then they all go. Okay? So they can talk to each other. Okapi, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. I'm not a specialist in these names. A relative of the giraffe. Okay? So a kind of related species. They speak to each other in, I think, 12 hertz. So even lower threshold. I mean, it's like this deep rumble, very deep rumble. And, you know, there's a lot of things about the universe we don't know. What makes us so skeptical, or what makes us so sure, you know, hopefully we're not, that, you know, there's not some other things that we have not discovered about how this universe operates. You know, this was only recently we figured out that elephants could talk to each other. And, you know, we've come a long way since, you know, over the years. And yet we didn't figure that out. So God does hear us. He does hear us. And I've got plenty of stories for you today. We can trust the Lord. We can trust Him with our lives. We can trust Him with our problems. And prayer is not just, the Bible says, pour out your hearts before Him in Psalms. It is not just asking for things, although that's part of prayer. It is not just praising Him, although that is part of prayer. It is telling Him everything. Our deepest concerns, our deepest joys, our achievements, our sorrows, our failures. We can trust Him with everything. Pour out our hearts. You know, my kids, if they only talked to me when they thanked me or when they asked me for things, it would be a very dull relationship. But when they tell me about their day, or when they tell me about things that make them happy, I like to hear that. When they say, that's delicious, I want to hear that, right? As parents, we want to hear what our kids have to say. And so prayer connects us to God, that pouring of the heart out to Him, the asking for things, as well as praising Him and telling Him everything in our lives. And God can do miracles. Just tell you a brief story. This is one of my kids, Rachel, when she was, I think, one, close, approaching one, probably 10 months here. And I was a graduate student at the time of most of my kids being born in Berrien Springs, Michigan. And we just didn't know how we were going to handle having crying babies at night and going through school. So each child, we knelt down before they were born, and we told the Lord, Lord, you know what we're doing. I was, you know, actively doing seminars and teaching and holding classes, as well as just ministering in any way I could, developing materials and going to class, and I had a family. So I was very busy, and we just knelt down and I said, Lord, please help this child to sleep during the night. And all of our children, we did that with before they were all, while she was pregnant with all of them, all the children slept average 12 hours. We don't know what it's like to be up with kids. Like, I think this last year, like when all of them got sick, there was a terrible flu that came through. It was like the worst time in our lives that we've ever been up at night. And it was nothing compared to little kids. They slept, I would be worried that they had died in their cribs. I'd go to their crib in the morning, you know, we'd be up, we'd be eating. Where's the baby? Still sleeping. So go in there and it's like 14 hours, you know, they've been sleeping the whole time. God answers prayer. You know, sometimes there's things that happen that we pray regularly. Lord, protect our children. And we see miracles happen. And we can't attribute it to anything except God. I remember one time Rachel made a mistake and she stood up in a shopping cart that she wasn't supposed to do. And she, the shopping cart stopped suddenly. And She flipped over the front of the shopping cart and was going straight down, perpendicular to the ground like this. I just watched. I was in front about 5 feet, and I just turned around and I saw her there. And I didn't have time to do anything. That's why you need to pray ahead of time, amen? I didn't have time to do anything. I was just like, and she dropped, and her head hit that round bar at the bottom, and it caused her body, but it didn't hit it very hard. It just glanced, so it caused her to turn, and she fell on her back, flat on a box of Kleenexes that had fallen from the bottom of the cart. Just flat, just poof, on Kleenexes. And she was fine. And I've just seen so many situations like that, too many situations to believe it's just accident. The Lord protects. And another time, I'll just tell you a quick story here. I'll just go in order. The Lord provides also the things that we do need when we ask Him, if it's according to His will. Okay, so we always have to pray according to His will. But if we're in His will, this is what I say, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. So He doesn't have a problem providing for His family. He knows what we need, and He has all the resources of the universe. My kids like to ask me, when was God born? They ask me so many times, over and over. When was God born? I say, He never was born. He's never had a beginning. He always was. Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, that is amazing. That's really amazing. He's great. You know, He has no problem providing. Okay, we just need to make sure that we're in His will and where He wants us to be, and He'll provide. I remember one time I was, it was because of this church right here. I came here and I did a seminar in 2005 or 6, I think. And so it was at the very beginning, so sorry I had to practice on you then. And I had these DVDs that I was trying to make to teach other people about Bible memorization, and my computer was too slow to do the editing. I needed a new computer. So I'm like, oh no, what am I going to do? I don't have a fast enough computer. I was stalled in my work, and I prayed and prayed and prayed. And I said, Lord, I really need You to provide something for me to make these, you know, educational DVDs. And this sale came. It was Friday afternoon, and all I had was rent money. Like, in 2 weeks, I was supposed to pay this money, $500. And the computer was listed at Best Buy for $499.99. And I didn't know how I was going to pay my rent, but I really wanted to get this information out in the hands of people because the Lord is coming soon. So I wouldn't recommend doing this, but I took my rent money and I went and I got this computer. The next day was Sabbath, and I went to church, and someone came and gave me a spongy envelope and said, the Lord bless us this week, we wanted to share with you. And it was $500 in $20 bills. $500. I mean, just amazing. Okay, the Lord just, He cares about us. Another time, I was a co-porter in California, and a student at the same time. So I was going to school, and I was co-portering to kind of make some money on my bill and everything. And I jumped in this van. I was going somewhere, and it was one of these old seatbelt, the part that the seatbelt attaches into, that's really rigid. And I sat with my tailbone right on that thing when I jumped in the van. Oh, wow. Tailbone pain is really bad. And so I shot up. I was like, oh no, that hurts so bad. And like every day I could barely walk. So I'm thinking, okay, next week when I'm going cold porting, it'll be all better. Like, you know, after a week. So I was like sitting, you know, like this during class, and I couldn't get up in the morning. I had to roll out of bed. It was very painful. And it was very humiliating too, you know, to be able, you know, just like walk down like this, you know, what's wrong with you? Never mind, you know. And so it was actually getting worse. I went to the doctor, and they were like, sorry, we don't do stuff like that. We can't help that. And I got to Sunday when I was supposed to go co-porting in Reno, and it was even worse, it seemed, than it had been at the beginning of the week, like a week before. And then just this faith just came over me. Whatever you ask according to my will, it will be done. If you ask anything according to my will, I will do it for you. That's what the Bible says. So I said, you know what? I'm not going out for myself. I'm going out for others. Like, this is not my job. It's the Lord's job. So if it's his will, he'll heal me if he wants to. And I was just alone in my dorm room, and everybody was getting ready to go colporting, and I couldn't go, and I could barely walk. And I just kneeled down on the ground, and I told the Lord that I wanted to go because it was his work. And that if he wanted me to go, he'd have to do something about this. And so I just frankly invited him to work according to his will. And I said, Lord, I pray if it would glorify you, in Jesus' name, heal my tailbone. Amen. It was a very short, no-nonsense prayer, you know, maybe 30 seconds max. And I felt a hand touch me on my shoulder, and I felt this power go all the way through my body. And I stood up, and the pain was completely gone. I like moved around, I stretched, I jumped, and after like the third jump, I felt a little twinge, like don't push it. And so I ran that day. I went colporting, and I ran from house to house. God answers prayer in the way that he wants, in his time, and his way is always best. I've just got a whole list of stuff to... stories. Let's see, I'm going back because I have my notes on the slide. Okay, sometimes God does not answer our prayers how we want him to. And in the end, it turns out to be better. Example. Our first baby took 27 hours to deliver. That's too long. And, I mean, it was we were just like, Lord, deliver us, please. And, you know, if I was praying that, you know my wife was praying that. And it was just horrible. So, second baby came around, and I said, no, 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 we're not doing that. Everyone, I was like, all my friends, you have to pray for us. It's got to be a short delivery, please. So we prayed for a short delivery. I mean, we prayed for a short delivery. We're like, we're not doing that again. That was not good. So, the morning she went into labor, we waited until the water broke, and we went directly to the hospital. This was only like an hour after she started contracting, or an hour and a half or something. I mean, it wasn't very long since the labor started. So we had a little iPhone app and everything, and we were tracking it and all the good stuff. And we're just like, all right, water broke, we're going. And so while I was at the hospital, I called. No, when I first got there. All right, I first get there. This is in Niles, Michigan. I first get there, and they, like, I don't know, maternity ward triage, I don't know what you call it. There's like a waiting area. They don't let you in unless you're ready to deliver. So they, like, you know, they make sure that you're not there for nothing and wasting their time. And so they checked her, and then they were, like, looking at the charts on the last baby. And they're like, 27 hours, huh? Maybe you should go shopping. And why don't you go to Walmart or something? And I prayed about it, and we were like, no, we're praying for a fast delivery, and I just didn't feel comfortable. And I said, we're not going anywhere. We're just going to wait here. So we're not comfortable leaving. So they said, all right. You know, they looked at us like, you foolish parents. And I called these, you know, deacons and friends, you know, that I had to come to the hospital and pray that it would be a short delivery. Like an hour and a half later, they come and they check her, and like there's a huge commotion. Get her down to the delivery room, quick! And, I mean, this was a really, really short labor. In the hallway, she almost delivered. Barely got her from like the triage room or whatever you call it, the incoming maternity room, down to the birthing, okay? So, I don't know if I've told this story here at one point, but the baby is born very rapidly, and I'm noticing something I didn't notice with my first child. I'm noticing that the nurse is not really catching and holding on to my baby, and I didn't really understand why, but I understood later. And the baby, she's kind of doing this with the baby. And the baby's like more in air than touching her hands, it seems like. And I'm like, okay, why don't I help you? So I reached down with my gloved hands, and I caught and I delivered my baby. The baby had been flipping. And I was like, I don't remember that happening the last time. The reason why the baby was flipping, anyone care to guess? Because the umbilical cord was wrapped around her neck 3 times. And the nurse was trying as fast as possible to unwind that. Those moments were critical. That baby was born so quickly. And if we hadn't have prayed, if we hadn't had a long delivery, that baby would have died or been crippled. So I thought about naming her Mercy. But the Lord sometimes gives us difficult situations so that we realize our dependence on Him and so that He may prepare us for future difficulties. So it doesn't always happen like we like. Another time, another situation where we realized God's provision was when my wife got bit by a brown recluse spider. And I was like, woe is me. I have insurance. I'm a student. I have to have insurance. My wife does not have insurance. So I felt like absolutely the worst husband in the world. I was just like, I cannot believe this. I don't have insurance for my wife. And she just got bit by this poisonous spider that there's... If you look at pictures on the internet, it just terrifies you. Brown recluse spider bites are horrible. So she was at camp, and we were at camp meeting, and she got bit by this spider. So I'm like, Lord, please give us money to go to the best of care, you know, and everything. And we actually, I took her in. She didn't have insurance. They didn't even want to look at her at the hospital. I took her to the hospital. I was like, I was so upset about this. Brought her to the hospital, the ER. They found out we didn't have insurance. And took her in, and she's like, oh, you got bit by a spider. Oh, why don't you come back in a few days? And, you know, I'm like, no, you need to look at it. It was like all discolored, and she had had hives and nausea and vomiting and all this stuff. And diarrhea, I mean, just, it was a poisonous spider bite. And so then finally she looked at the spider bite, and I was just like, I can't believe this. Like, what am I going to do? Lord, you have to deliver us. Well, what do you do? All that we did was charcoal and hydrotherapy. That's all we had. So we did that. You know, we couldn't really provide the best of care that we thought, but I was like, Lord, you have to. Why aren't you providing for me? Why aren't you providing for me? There was a friend of ours that was a kind of a retired surgeon, and he came over and he looked at it and he's like, so you're putting what on it? You know, charcoal? And he said, it's going to start to, you know, necrosis is going to set in and it's going to die. You know, it's going to start to, skin is going to start to slough off and it's going to tunnel into the flesh because the poison, brown recluse spiders have this protein dissolving poison, which dissolves your muscle tissue and the, you know, what you're made of, flesh. And so he was predicting all this horrible stuff, you know. And I was just like feverishly changing poultices and charcoal poultices mixed with flaxseed and hot and cold treatments. I mean, I was going crazy. Like, it was just all night long, you know. We were just working on this. And he comes back in a few weeks, and he goes, or a couple weeks or something, or 2 or 3 weeks. And he looked at it, and he was like, I think I'm becoming a believer. And there was no necrosis. He was just like, amazing. He's like, it's supposed to be rotting. Not rotting. It's supposed to be dying, whatever. And it wasn't happening. So it turns out, and then he's like, well, the only thing really that we can do in the medical profession is we can cut a big hunk out of her and like take the poison. You know, I'm thinking, oh yeah, like we really want that, right? So, you know, missing a big part of your leg, you know, a big dent in you the rest of your life. So I was like, yeah, we're not doing that, even if we had the money. And so then we got in. Someone was able to get us in to see this wound specialist, this person. Anyway, so the doctor gave us, so we got in to see a physician finally who was willing to, you know, with the full armory of modern technology and everything. There's no antivenom for the, it's not a bacteria. They were like prescribing, you know, people were like, you got to get on antibiotics. I'm like, for what? It's a poison. It's not a bacteria. And so we went and we saw this doctor. The doctor injected her with cortisone and local steroids. So we're like, oh, why would we put charcoal on where we just put the steroid? And so we stopped the charcoal. Well, a week after that, guess what started to happen? Necrosis. So immediately we went back to the charcoal, hot and cold. We were able to contain it. But it turns out that what I thought was really bad was actually the only thing that would have worked. And so the Lord provided, even when I didn't think that He was providing. So the Lord answers prayer. He answers prayer in ways that we don't understand. Sorry, I keep going back to this one. Do these stories bore you? Okay, I just want to impress upon you that the Lord hears our prayers. One time I was driving on Highway 80 to go to school in Berkeley. This was two summers ago. So I was going to go to a class at Berkeley, UC Berkeley. And so I'm traveling down the highway, full speed, almost full speed, this huge pack of morning traffic. And suddenly, clear blue sky, beautiful day. It's a summer morning. I prayed over my family. I was going to be gone for 2 weeks. Suddenly, this thought flashes in my mind. Did you pray earnestly for your safety during this trip? And I prayed for my family, but I didn't recall really praying for my safety very intensely. I was impressed to pray. Right then, I just lifted my heart and said, Lord, please protect me. As soon as I finished the prayer, I mean as soon as I finished my prayer, just like 3 seconds after I finished my prayer, Lord, please protect me on this road. Suddenly, the car in front of me swerves. We're like this huge pack of cars, like huge, like miles long of rush hour traffic going nearly, you know, like 70 miles per hour on this highway. Suddenly, the car swerves in front of me. I see something fall in the road. And I just look over, and there just happens to be one space for me. My tires squeal as I turn, and I was just like, I almost cried because God loved me. Not because I was scared, not because I almost died, not because of anything like that. It was just like, Lord, why do you care about me? Enough to send a messenger from heaven to tell me that I need to ask you for help. Like, why? How does that work? Like, I don't understand. Who am I? Why do you invest so much? And so God does answer prayer. I could just tell you story after story. All right, so I'm not going to tell you any more stories, but I'm just going to go through. I'll tell you one more. Is that all right? All right. So I had like 3 or 4 ties that I liked. And, you know, I speak in different things, and I'd go different places and whatever. I was just getting tired of these like 3 ties. And I'm sure other people were getting tired of seeing them too. And I just said, Lord, it'd be nice if you could, since, you know, my job was speaking. It'd be nice. Ties, in my estimation, are not the most important thing to buy. So I just don't buy stuff like that. Anyway. And so I was just like, Lord, it'd be nice if you could provide me some good ties at a reasonable cost. And I did a seminar last month in Oklahoma. And I went there. And after the seminar, you know my brother-in-law, Joel Sabangan? He's like, oh, hey, let's swing by the office. One of my friends, this banker guy, he's not working in his job anymore. He just gave me all these ties. And I told him I don't need any, and I told him I didn't want them, but he said, then I remembered you. So he said, here, there's like 25 Ralph Lauren, all this stuff that I'd never, ever buy. You know, like ever. And just the Lord just takes care of what you need, you know. And not everything you want, but he does get what we need. All right, so in the sanctuary service, let me ask the scholars here. What part of the service brought the worshiper closest to God? Anybody care to guess? Where was the Shekinah glory? In the most holy place, right? The holiest of all. And what was closest? What service in the what daily service brought the priest closest to the divine presence? It was the altar of incense. See, the altar of incense was located right before the veil that did not extend fully to the top of the sanctuary. Inside it was just glorious, it looked like it was solid gold inside. The gold-plated walls, and then the golden furniture, and then the lamps just reflecting just every direction. It was sparklingly dazzling, okay? It was amazing. And then the priest would offer incense in harmony with the daily sacrifice. Don't forget that. So while morning and evening, while the sacrifice was being offered, there was a sacrifice of prayer on the inside at the altar of prayer. And this incense would go up from the priest over the what? The veil. Because the veil did not extend to the top. Into the immediate presence of God, the Shekinah glory which dwelt between the cherubim of the ark. The glory of God would often come up to meet the incense, which represents prayer. The Bible says, let my prayers rise as incense. And then Revelation 8:3 says, you know, another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints. So incense represented prayer, the prayer, and it, you know, it rises up, just like our prayers go to God. And so it was symbolic of that. And then often the glory of God, the Shekinah glory, like this was the captain of the hosts of Israel. This was Jehovah, His glory, would come up and meet the incense. And often it would flood over into the holy place, and the priest could not endure the power and the glory and the majesty of God. And he would often have to leave the holy place. Prayer brings us very close to God. He pours out His blessings when we pray. The old standard bearers in our church knew what it was to wrestle with God in prayer and to enjoy the outpouring of His Spirit. But these are passing off from the field, from the stage of action. Excuse me. And who are coming up to fill their places? How is it with the rising generation? Are they converted to God? We must have more prayer. A revival need be expected only in answer to prayer. And we must pray more and talk less. Notice this. The greatest victories which are gained to the cause are not by labored argument, ample facilities, abundance of influence, and plenty of means. But where are they gained? In the audience chamber with God, when earnest, agonizing faith lays hold upon the mighty arm of power. We must be much in prayer if we would make progress in the divine life. When the message of truth was first proclaimed, how much we prayed, our early church, how often was the voice of intercession heard in the chamber, in the barn, in the orchard, or the grove? Frequently we spent hours in earnest prayer. When was the last time we did that? When was the last time we did that? This is saying frequently. How have we strayed from our first love? Two or three together claiming the promise. Often the sound of weeping was heard, and then the voice of thanksgiving and the song of praise. Now the day of God is nearer than when we first believed, and we should be more earnest, more zealous, and fervent than in those early days. Our perils are greater now than then. Souls are more hardened. We need now to be imbued with the Spirit of Christ, and we should not rest until we receive it. The Lord wants to do great things for us. So how much time are we spending in prayer? We're told the promise is, ask ye of the Lord, rain in the time of the latter rain. Is this the time of the latter rain? This is just before Jesus comes. It's harvest time. We need the latter rain and the early rain falling together to rapidly convert and bring to maturity people that will come in. This is the time to seek the Lord, to hide His word in our hearts, and to seek the Lord. Now, it's in this context of ministry, of prayer, and of learning God's word and understanding His promises and His commands that we are told to cut out every unnecessary thing from our lives. Cut loose. Because it's not that God doesn't want us to have good things, and that's why He's asking us to be very careful about the time that we spend with other things, why we should turn away from things of the world, useless things. Things purely for entertainment and pleasure and just expenditures of money that have no real goal towards the gospel commission, because there's just no time to do everything. Like, I just don't get it. Like, how do people have time to pray earnestly, study their Bibles, and do ministry, and then, like, know all the sports scores? I just don't get it. How do you have time for that? I don't think you do. I challenge you. Find someone that's praying earnestly, working diligently, and studying faithfully, and doing what the world does. It's just not going to happen. You have to decide. What am I going to do? Am I going to be a primitive apostolic Christian, full of the Holy Spirit, or am I going to be a worldling? Look at the example of Jesus. Was Jesus like, oh, so yeah, what's going on in Rome today? No. He was our servant. That's why He lived. It's to serve us. When He woke up, He wasn't like, let's see how much fun I can do today. Let's see how much time I can get away from my job so I can just serve myself. That's not what He was thinking every day. When He woke up, He was thinking, God, this world is dying. There are people suffering everywhere, possessed of devils, sick, poor, in need, ignorant. Lord, you love them. You sent me for this. Please, please, imbue me with your power. And he sought the Lord in the morning, rising up a great while before day. He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. None of this, oh Lord, I'm going to pray to you in the middle of my sheets. He got up and he left somewhere to make sure that he was awake. And, you know, Jesus was perfect, and so he had, he took care of his body throughout his life. His prayer is an example for us, no doubt. But let's remember to be temperate, because Jesus, he always kept his body in the perfect condition throughout his life. He never transgressed the physical laws of his being. He was blameless. He was blemish free, right, as a lamb. And so he had a lot of extra stamina to spend, okay? So, like, I wouldn't advise staying up as late as Jesus did all the time praying. However, we better, like, start to make some strides in that direction, amen? We better be more like Jesus in that respect, because if he needed prayer, I'm thinking I need prayer. Could there be a convocation of all the churches on earth? The object of their united cry should be for the Holy Spirit. Because when we have the Holy Spirit, Christ, our sufficiency, is ever present. We shall have every want supplied, and we shall have the mind of Christ. Every want. We need God's power again. We need the power of the early church. There can be no real growth in the gospel plant, in our witnessing, in our evangelism, in our ministry for our children and our families and our wives and our husbands and our cousins and those that we love. There can be no growth without the rain, and we get the rain by prayer. We have to pray for rain. So let's just ask ourselves the question. I don't have much time for much else here. Prayer is kind of a broad topic. But how much time are we spending in prayer? I don't mean just throughout the day. I mean dedicated time. You know, we're not going to make it if we're not in the Word, and we're not going to make it if we're not praying. And so let's be realistic with ourselves. How much time have we set apart for corporate prayer, for individual prayer? This is something that I did at on the campus of Andrews University to kind of organize a little prayer. Just started with just a few people, and it grew from that to something I didn't expect. But we just had a small group, and we had something I called Pioneer Prayer, because we did it at Pioneer Memorial Church in Berry Springs, Michigan. And basically, it's just like this, all right? We all want to get together. We want to pray for an extended amount of time. For our purposes, it was 1 hour. But there are some things, some challenges with corporate prayer. Sometimes you have these people that have a lot to say, too much. And so it kind of makes everyone else, like, go to sleep. So, or people will start praying for, like, other things that people have no idea about. And so we're all just, like, patiently waiting. Okay, so I made this acronym to kind of focus us. And it's SHORT. In other words, short prayers. Okay, so short prayers, sentence prayers, or, you know, paragraph prayers, but no autobiographies, please. And so short prayers. And then the S stands for scriptural, meaning we're asking for our greatest need, most of all. Our purpose is receiving the Holy Spirit. That's primarily what Jesus was looking for. He was looking to be imbued. So we're looking for all the blessings that the Holy Spirit brings. If the Holy Spirit has promised to do that, that's what we're praying for. If he's promised to give us love, we can pray about love. Joy, joy. Peace, peace. Long-suffering, and go through the fruits of the Spirit. Or the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. Faith, discerning of spirits, interpretation of tongues, helps, miracles, speaking in tongues. Prophecy, all these gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. If the Spirit is willing to give it, we're praying for it. Okay, so claiming promises, scriptural. H stands for harmonious, and there's power in this, harmonizing with each other. So if a brother, let's say Pastor Draggett prays for the Holy Spirit to bless the youth of the church, then someone else, at least one other person, needs to agree. Because the Bible says, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, in Matthew 18, 19 to 20. It shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And so this is kind of like just a little system to help the prayer meeting go along smoothly so people don't get discouraged and don't come anymore. So harmonizing with each other. And then O stands for orderly. Orderly means that you have an appointed closing time and you do it. Sometimes you have, you know, overzealous people and they want to, you know, continue past the time when you've agreed. And, you know, people are busy. They make commitments to come and pray here and they would like to leave on time. So at the time appointed, the person who's appointed to close closes the prayer meeting and people respect that. They don't, you know, unless the Holy Spirit takes over and it's clearly the Lord and not just our own desires. So orderly, and also orderly stands for some people will pray like this inside their hands, or they're like down on the ground, no one can hear them. So when we pray, we should pray loudly so that others can hear us, right? So lift up our heads if we're praying. So orderliness in prayer, so others can hear, especially those that are a little more hard of hearing. And then righteous are very important. The righteousness of Jesus, confessing our sins and believing in His righteousness. And claiming the blood of Jesus and that He is our intercessor. And that is so powerful. That is an argument that God cannot resist. That is His beloved Son. When you say, in the name of your Son, God's like, so glad you asked. If it's according to His will, He's proud of His Son. He wants to promote His Son. He's going to give His kingdom to His Son. So if we pray in His name, it's done. Righteousness, in the righteousness of Christ, claiming often His victory over Satan at Calvary. The devil, you know what I just read? I just read an amazing quotation. The devil hides himself because he's afraid that when we discover that it's him making the problem, we will appeal to God. And he knows that he has absolutely no chance. All we have to do is just appeal in the name of Jesus. So, the righteousness of Christ. T stands for total. This is very important. Total means the plural pronoun, possessive pronoun, our or us or we, not my, I, and me. Don't say those words because we're all praying together. So Jesus taught us how to pray our Father, right? Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. And so that keeps things focused, you know. In other words, instead of just praying for your child, why not pray for others' children as well? Instead of saying my, say, Lord, bless our children. And then you can pray for the whole church body or using those total more inclusive words. We for I and us for me. So, how much time are we spending? How much time are we willing? Everywhere I go, let me just tell you what happened at Colfax, and then I'll close. We've had a long day. Thanks for sticking with me. You're not tired of me yet. That's good. Good news. Thank you. Colfax, California, as soon as I get to a church, whenever I'm changing location, I always start an early morning prayer meeting. Do you know why it's early morning? Because I'm only going to get those that are really serious. Because revival starts small. You don't start with a log on paper. You start with paper and kindling. And then you add to it. And then you add the church body. The log. Then you have a fire. Like, you can't start a fire by crumpling paper and putting a big log on it. Okay? So I would advise starting with a small group, and you'll know who's faithful by who's willing to come out at an early hour on a Sunday morning or something like that. And we started this at 6 o'clock a.m. And I purposely set it early because I just wanted Gideon's army. I don't want just people coming because it's the popular thing to do. I want people coming because they want to be there, and revival is going to start with those people. Just telling you an inside secret since you've been with me this whole time. So, it was amazing. We started to pray for our midweek prayer meeting at our prayer meeting. Sometimes at the very beginning there was only one person, but I was never alone there. There was only one person there besides me. And I developed this brother is so close to my heart now. Like I could go to the ends of the earth and do mission work with him. Just one guy sometimes were there in the morning. And then it just started to build. And there was a symbiotic effect. We were praying for the church prayer meeting in the midweek prayer meeting, at this early morning prayer meeting. And like the midweek one where we started to do the Advent Answers Academy, that grew, it looked like church service. There were so many people there. Like, in the history of the church, no one ever remembered prayer meeting being so full. And it was a direct result of us praying in the mornings together. Then, there was a symbiotic effect because of the blessings that were happening in the midweek prayer meeting. We had sometimes 25 people, 30 people, 20 people with kids at 6 o'clock in the morning. Now, you have to understand, this church is like probably, I don't know, maybe 90 members, maybe 100 members or something like that. That's pretty good, okay? I don't know exactly how many, but it's a small church. The church itself is only like one of the rows of these right here, like just one of the rows. And like we're talking about 6 o'clock a.m., little kids and their families there for prayer. And then we started sharing testimonies, and we had to extend the time from 6 o'clock. Instead of from 6 to 7, we extended it from 6 to 7:30 to allow for half an hour of testimonies. And we were sharing the answers to prayer that God had, you know, these testimony times of, you know, does anyone have a testimony? Silence. I'm thankful I'm alive. So are we. We're very glad you're alive. I mean, we need to have something to share about how God has been, you know, helping us to witness, how God has been, you know, converting souls around us. I'm thankful I'm alive too, but, you know, come on. Like, we need to have something else to say. So, it's better to say that than nothing. Let me just clarify. But we started to have answers to prayer to be able to share. So let's take some time to pray. We have 5 minutes. And just encourage us. Yes, Bidigan?
Come together with like-minded at the church to pray. And at the beginning of the meeting tonight, I was listening to you speak on prayer. It struck me, you know, I like to meet at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Sounds good to me.
And then you mentioned it now. Starting with one day a week. The reason why you came to me was not because I needed another program. I have so much going on. In fact, right after this, I'm going to a memorial service that I found out about a few hours ago. So you don't do that. And so there's just so much. And tomorrow, the whole day is packed. But it's exactly because of that.
Amen. That's true.
It's because of that. And I just feel that if there is one or two or three or five people that actually had this burden to come together and to pray, amazing things would happen.
Amen.
I have a presentation tomorrow at 10 o'clock down close to the airport at a hotel there. Seminar that we have on a weekly basis. And all the other things happening, I need prayer. And we
yes.
All need prayer for whatever we do in the week. And I have a feeling that we're going to see flowers blooming and fruit developing. We're going to see all this stuff happening when we pray.
Yes.
Even when few pray, it's going to be extremely hard.
Yes.
When more pray, even more so.
Amen.
So I do not want to come until you feel a burden for it. I don't want you to come and be a burden for the rest of us because you don't really want to be there. But if you have a burden to join me, I'm going to be here at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Amen. So will I.
And
we'll see you.
I'm already looking forward to it. And I hope and pray that we will see mighty things happen in our own lives.
Amen. 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 So why don't we do that? Why don't we split up into small groups and just find a place quietly to just lift up. What I do when I pray is I just, even silently while another person is praying, I am just agonizing with the Lord. I'm telling him everything on my heart. And the Lord will bless, I promise. The Word says, if we ask, we will receive. If we seek, we will find. If we knock, it will be opened. The problem is not because God is stingy with His Spirit. The problem is we have not been willing to receive it. So hopefully see you at 6 o'clock tomorrow. I'll have a closing prayer tonight in 5 minutes or so. Or we'll make it a 3-minute prayer. We want to get you out. You had a long day. And so if you can just break off, you can pray alone if you feel comfortable with that. We'll just have this as a house of prayer. In the morning, we'll have a united prayer together. But for now, just find a partner or two or three.